Okay, welcome everyone. We'll get started. Who can take the role this morning?
Mr. Chairman?
Don, there you are, man.
Senator Donstetter?
I was looking for
Senator Hastert? Senator Meyer? Senator Perkins? Representative Burkhart? Representative Escobel? Representative Moniz? Representative Nicholas?
Excuse. Here. He's here.
Representative Stubson?
Here.
Representative Wallace?
Here.
Co-Chairman Bebout?
Here.
Co-Chairman Harshman?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Okay, members, we're going to do a couple things here. We want to, of course, review the language, and we'll go through all these footnotes, Mr. Co-Chair, one by one when we get there. But we had talked a week ago after our round robin about making this maybe a short round robin. If there are a few things that members wanted to bring up, probably, we'd have to vote to open an agency. We'll probably extend that courtesy to each other and open the agency, maybe re-debate an issue or two, close it, and then finish that, and then move on to all the amendments here. So, or Ms. Co-Chair, is that?
Mr. Co-Chair, you bet. That's
okay.
What you want to do,
okay.
I think you're probably going to, rather than go, you'll go segments of 10 possibly,
I think so.
Everybody
that's
be on their toes. And Don, there's some things that I wanted to do, so don't let them slip by without me opening a budget, because if that happens, then, okay.
Okay, so we'll just start. And usually in a round robin, we go agency one, two, and I'm just going to do it by 10. So agencies 1 through 10. Does any member, Representative Wallace?
I believe agriculture is agency 10.
It is.
Mr. Chairman, I would move to open.
Can you use your mic, please?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved to open. Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Agency 10 is open. Go ahead, Representative Wallace.
Okay, just a second. Let me get to my little cheat sheet.
Reverend
here.
Technology list.
Yep. Hang on. So, Mr. Chairman, I don't have my budget open, so I'm not sure what unit this is. But what I'd like to discuss with the committee and perhaps offer an amendment on is the Wyoming Animal Damage Management Funds. There was $174,000 of those funds that were cut in the regular process in that budget, and I have received quite a bit of information from the predator boards that there may be some justification to reinstating those funds. Those funds are granted to counties. There's 19 counties that are using those funds right now. They've added some additional personnel in recent years to fulfill the wildlife focus of this program. And for instance, what they're working on at least in part is predators on deer, antelope fawning grounds, elk calving areas, sage grouse nesting areas, sheep lambing grounds, and cattle calving areas. And with the benefit of the gray wolf being delisted, predators are being controlled in these critical areas at a priority times of the year. One of the things that was mentioned to me in a phone call was a program to deal with ravens, which, of course, are one of the most serious predators on the sage-grouse. It also comes, part of the funding for this fund comes from a portion of our brand inspection fees on livestock, and with all the cattle numbers and sheep numbers down with the drought, of course, that revenue stream is greatly decreasing. So, Mr. Chairman, I've got a little bit more information here, but I think that probably gives the committee the gist of where I'm coming from, and I would make a motion to reinstate that $174,000.
Representative Wallace, in that unit, was that 1501 predator management?
If it's got $174,000 cut.
It does.
That's it.
I would second that, Mr. Co-Chair. And Mr. Co-Chair, would my co-sponsor be amenable to an amendment?
Certainly.
And Mr. Co-Chair, I would move that we split that and do half.
Okay. So the amended motion is the amount of, what is that amount, 174.9? Don, do you have that? I have 87,450.
Someone Mr. Chairman, that's what I have.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chairs in doubt. All those in favor, raise your hand. 4-5. Those opposed? 3. Motion fails. Okay. Members, any others on 1 through 10?
Mr. Chairman,
Don,
just to bring 3 to your attention, in 1 through 10, Dave Nelson circulated 2 options here, which are on your desk, providing $1.1 million for accountability testing or assessment testing, and a second one offers $800,000 in assessment testing. I did not speak to any member of the committee requesting this, but I assume someone did. So I just bring those to your attention. They would be appropriately placed in Agency 005.
I think I don't have. I'm not sure if all the members have that. And I think we'll just we'll come back to that maybe and talk about it more globally as a policy piece here at the end if we want to. Okay.
Two more, Mr.
Chairman. Yeah, go ahead.
In Agency 7, Military Department, there was some interest in revisiting the 2 veteran service officers by some of the members. I just bring that to your attention so no one who has that concern will forget about it. Okay. And the last point is a request by the Construction Management Division. That's Rich Cathcart's shop. They requested an amendment during their presentation, and we have rewritten that to some extent. They would like that administrator to be appointed by the governor and serve as secretary to the State Building Commission. Currently in statute, they are appointed by the Director of Administration and Information, report to them, and the Administrator of General Services, not Construction Management, serves as the secretary to the State Building Commission. Currently, Rich Cathcart serves in both of those roles. I'll have this distributed so folks can look at the draft.
And that's plan. Agency 6.
Agency 6, correct.
Do I have a motion on that?
Mr. Chairman, I move we open Agency 6.
It's been moved and seconded by Representative Moniz, moved by the co-chair. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That agency is open. Is everybody, I think it's being circulated. Does anybody have any questions on the
Mr.
Co-Chair?
Mr. Co-Chair, I would hope that the committee would support this. It's kind of the way the business is operating now, and it's really an important component of it, and this puts into the budget this language. Ultimately, Don will probably need a statutory change ultimately on this. Is that correct, Dave?
Mr. Chairman, you absolutely are doing something different than what the statute provides, and there's a notwithstanding, and I'll just say this one time and then repeat it, but the General Appropriations Bill is supposed to contain nothing but appropriations for the general operations of government, and you are notwithstanding 2 different statutes, 1 regarding the appointment and 2 who is the secretary to the State Building Commission with this amendment.
And Mr. Co-Chair?
Mr. Co-Chair.
And Dave, you know, we have that bill that's going through where we have statutory changes for other parts of our budget that we need to make. But as I understand the title on that, it does not allow us to put this into that particular bill. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Members, any other questions? Representative Nicholas?
You know, that's part of the problem of doing a round robin when we get a request like this, and particularly for us new folks, we don't really know what this means or what it does at all. If we want the statutory change, and the House side still has time to submit a bill, I'd be happy to submit a bill to do this and not do it through this mechanism.
Well, Mr. Co-Chair, if the House still is open, then I think that's what we do. And if you're willing to do that, Representative Nicholas, then I'll let's withdraw. I'll withdraw my motion. I'm not sure I made one. But, yeah, let's do it that way. That's a better way and a cleaner way.
So can we get that bill drafted, Jack?
Yeah, and I think that this, Mr. Co-Chair, I think this is something we can get through the through the body too, because it's pretty not it's not controversial.
Can we get? Can we tell you who'd like to co-sponsor it now and make it easier, or does that matter? Doesn't matter.
I will.
I'll certainly. Okay. Okay. Any other issues on HC6? I think
move,
it's a good
move
policy.
To close.
Move to close. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Anything else on agencies 1 through 10? Don, you have anything for us? That's it. Okay, agencies 11 through 20. Seeing none. 21 through 30. Through 40, 41 through 50. Don, do you have something for us?
Mr. Chairman, this appears in the footnote to the Department of Health. We spoke about this last time. There was a motion. It appears on page 8 of your summary of section 300s and footnotes. It is footnote number 8. This relates to the antiquated language that refers to the partnership to resolve mental health issues in Wyoming, and replaces that with the conditions as identified in the Chris S. stipulated settlement agreement. I believe Representative Nicholas did move this when we worked the budget, but there was no vote taken on it.
Mr. Kocher.
I move we open budget 48, or agency 48.
Seconded by Representative Stepson. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Agency is open. 48.
I would remove whatever I moved that didn't get voted on.
Moved by Representative Nicholas. The language you can see on page 8.
Second.
Seconded by the co-chair. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted.
I think Representative Stepson has a proposal. You didn't get yours?
Time out,
Mr. Co-Chair.
Don, do we have a copy of the
Mr. Chairman, it is white. Yeah.
Members, these...
Yes, it's titled 2013 JAC Action of the Supplemental Budget.
Everybody, we're working off this partly. We'll work through all of it eventually here, but...
And Mr. Chairman, if I can have just a second, and maybe Don can let me know if it's already in there, because I haven't had a chance to look at all the Section 48 footnotes. But if it isn't already provided for, I need to move, and this is in the developmental preschools arena, some language that the budget cut, the 4% budget cut that we adopted is notwithstanding the language in 21-2-706B. And that's just, remember, we have in statute a per-child amount that's statutory and tagged in statute, and yet we're doing this 4% cut, which moves away from that statutory requirement. And so this gets it in the footnote that we're making that cut, notwithstanding the statutory language. And my hope is that we can do it through the footnote rather than going in and changing the statute going forward so that we can at least look at it in the next budget cycle.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Representative Wallace.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is the effect of that to keep the per-child amount solid, or is the effect of that to dilute, like if there were more kids that wound up in the program, the per-child amount would decrease because there's so many more kids?
Mr. Chairman, there's really two pieces to it, and this particular motion is to, you would reduce the per child amount because there has been, between when we budgeted last year and this year, there's been no increase in child count, and so that's not an issue, and we talked about that in that governor's rec when we took care of that. So what it does is we are lowering the per child amount and departing from statute in that regard by agreeing with the 4% cut that was already proposed. So
then how do you address the concern that there are certain counties that are over over-qualifying, making more children eligible than other counties. So there are apparently different standards about which kids get accepted into the program, and at least I've heard that there are some that are really over-qualifying and allowing many more children in than others, and then that would substantially decrease the ones that are actually being pretty stringent with their eligibility requirements.
Mr. Chairman, it doesn't address that circumstance, and I've heard that too, especially with respect to one region, I believe. But the governor's budget, as it was initially presented to us, didn't do anything about that. And so it is an issue. I know Director Forslund has spoken to that. I know it's on his to-do list, and that they will be working on that in the interim ahead. So I'm sure we'll be looking at it. But with that said, this particular language doesn't impact it one way or another. I mean, it doesn't correct that situation, but it doesn't make it any worse either.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Good. Senator Dockstad.
Mr. Chairman, just quickly, what are you taking into the next budget cycle then, following this discussion?
Mr. Chairman, if I understand the question correctly, that the language that I'm proposing for the footnote is that and remember, this is actually not a 4% cut that we adopted. It's the 4% cut that was part of the $19 million reduction that's already a done deal. And so we're just saying we're conforming the language to say that 4% reduction that's really already part of the budget we passed last year is notwithstanding the statutory language in 21-2706B, which mandates a per-child amount. And so that goes forward to this next budget cycle to talk about again.
Any other comments, questions? Don, do you have any? Good. Okay. Mr. Co-Chair, anything?
I think we moved that. We moved and seconded. Call for the question.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Any other amendments on Agency 48? Okay. Move to close.
Seconded.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 48's closed. Any others? 41 through 50. Agencies 51 through 60.
Mr. Chairman?
Don, go ahead.
I know there was some discussion relative to the $1.7 million that was pulled out of the UW Engineering College for purposes of a Level 2 study on the Corbett facility. This would be the appropriate agency 067 if that anyone wanted to address that.
Mr. Co-Chair. I move we open agency 067.
Been moved. Seconded by Representative Stubson. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Agency 67 is open.
Mr. Co-Chair, I think Representative Moniz has a proposal.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks.
Masterful. Mr. Co-Chair.
Yeah. Our original proposal was to sweep 1.7 from the engineering college and put it towards a phase two pool in UW. I'm suggesting we sweep a total of 5 and sweep it towards the renovation of the arena auditorium.
I second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded. So to understand the motion, the 1.7 would go away, and it would be a total of 5 from the engineering college budget to the AA renovations.
Yes.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I would just hope that we would give this favorable consideration. And one of the concerns I had, and if you recall last session, we did 10, 10, and 10 for the AA, $10 million of the state general fund money, $10 million grant, and a $10 million bonding. The bonding part of that component is not working out. In fact, as you recall, when we passed our our AML budget, a committee bill, that bonding is taken out. And we had quite a discussion with the people that are concerned about the ability to get our phase one done, the first part of it. And the $5 million number, if we're successful in doing this, will allow us to go ahead and get into the arena and get to maybe this still this spring or early fall and do what we need to do. And so if we're going to do a project and we started it, let's do it right. And so I think this is a good move to do that. As far as Corbett, there's no question that things need to be done at Corbett. But as I looked at the prioritization, I think we started the AA, let's finish it, let's do it right, and then we can look to that. And, Mr. Co-Chair, the only other thing that I don't like about this amendment, but I think we can take care of later, is we're taking $5 million from the engineering college. We'll have plenty of time to come back to that because that's still a work in progress. So I would hope that the committee would vote favorably on this.
So the amendment does not change the bottom line then where we're at right now?
No.
Okay. Any other discussion? Representative Wallace.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think it's any secret to this committee that I really have problems with the amount of money that we're spending at UW, and especially in the sports stuff. And while I do agree that there is some sense to trying to finish what we've started, I'm disturbed by the idea that we're taking funds away from the engineering school, which is where I think our priorities ought to be. So I'm torn on this, and I guess I'll make my mind up when I stick my hand up.
Thank you, Representative Wallace. Anyone else? Any comments on the motion? Senator Meyer?
I'm just curious. I think the university will be able to, when we get into the last phases of engineering, they'll be able to have some bonding capacity and finish this thing off without us putting more money in. Is that a correct assumption, or...
Are you asking?
I'm asking
you're looking
you.
At me, so I'm wondering if I'm the
you
answer
know a
man
bit
on
more
that.
More about it than I do.
Appreciate that, Senator Meyer. As far as finishing Corbett off or finishing engineering off, yeah, I think I don't know the answer to that question, but it's down the road a piece. I mean, we're trying to front load it. We know it's a big strategic project. And I'm not sure. I mean, we've set our sights at $115 million. I'm not so sure how firm that number is, to be honest, in my mind anyway. That could go either way, I suppose, over time. But I think the good co-chair said we've got a little time, I think, to work the engineering piece. I think the part on the AA right now, it's really used for basketball. The sound system is so poor in there, and the lighting and those things. I think the idea of the university is to turn that into really more of the arena part and then also the auditorium piece, really, to host these big events. You know, the Gorbachev, you can't hear anything. And the sound is the same sound system in 1981. So it's certainly due for an upgrade. And really, I think how it fits into the whole university plan, it's an important piece. The pool piece, I brought that amendment last year, had it on for a brief shining moment. We're trying to build a world-class university with a junior high pool. And, you know, it's going to have to be taken care of at some point. But so I'd like to do them both. I'd like to do, I guess it was my druthers, I'd like to add 5 to the 1.7 from engineering. But probably not much support for that. So I'm going to support the motion.
Mr.
Anyone
Chairman?
Else?
I would
Representative Nicholas.
I would move to amend the motion and reduce it from 5 to 3.
No. Second by Representative Wallace. Let's vote on the amendment to the amendment to reduce to 3. Everybody understand? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. That motion fails. Okay, we're back on the motion, the $5 million. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion's been adopted. Division being called. All those in favor of the motion, raise your hand. Opposed? I think that was 6. Motion's been adopted. That's what I thought I heard. No, I appreciate that call to make it clear, Representative Nicholas. Okay, any other changes to Agency 67? Okay. Any change?
Move that we close.
Thank you. Second by Representative Moniz. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? HC 67 is closed. Any others, 61 through 70? Don, do you have anything else for us?
Mr. Chairman, the budget request for local governments occurs in Agency 60. We put it in a Section 300 so it could be handled in either place.
How about we deal with that in the 300s? Can we do that? Mr. Co-Chair, we'll hit all the 300s here at the end. Flip through your... Unless there's a motion to open. Either way, we're going to deal with it. Okay. Agency 71 through 80. I'll give people time here to... There's getting to be fewer of those in there. I think that's only about three. Senator Perkins.
Never mind. We'll take care.
Okay. 91. I don't think there is a 91 through 100. I think anything else now. We're getting down to some small boards and others. So are there any other agencies that folks would like open? Okay. Mr. Co-Chair and members, we will. I'd like to go through this page by page. Don, you take us through, make sure the language says exactly what we adopted last week. So, Don, can you take us through starting on page one?
Mr. Co-Chair, before we do, are there any changes from the one we worked off yesterday? And when we get there, let me know what they are, would you please?
Mr. Chairman, yes. So, Mr. Chairman, on page one, that we start with Agency 1 with a footnote. This is to... insert $125,000 for the Streamlining Government Initiative. This occurred in Governor's Letter Number 1. The committee reduced the amount from $250,000 to $125,000.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burkhart.
Can I reopen that one?
Don, let me, and I just want to procedurally, we'll need to go back and open that up then, right? Since this is not a 300. Okay, move to open. Is there a second? Second by Representative Nicholas. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Agency 1. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I motion that we reduce that to zero. These agencies ought to be doing their job and keeping their rules and regulations under control. Some of them are already doing it.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Dockstader. Further discussion?
Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair.
I would speak against the amendment, you know, and we had some testimony in the Minerals Committee earlier this year, or earlier, you know, last year, talking about where, for instance, Wyoming has 17,000 rules on the books and other states have 4,000, 5,000, or 6,000. In fact, if you look at our statutes, they're about this wide, and then you look at the rules to deal with our statutes, and it's take three file cabinets. So I think this is a thing that we really need to do. And one of the frustrations I think a lot of Wyoming people suffer is all the rules. You know, and we continue to pass statutes and we continue to do the rules. And there's a lot of things, particularly in the Administrative and Procedures Act and things that we could consolidate. I think, you know, we always ask agencies to do things. And I think in this particular case, it's being led by the governor. He's doing it. He wanted $250,000. And I think if we take it to zero, we're telling him, you know, we don't think it's that important, and I would speak against the amendment. Let's leave him with $125,000.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator?
Just to follow up on that, I think we should leave it alone as well. The problem that we'll have, and as an example, two things. One is, if I remember, talking to some of our legislative brothers and sisters in the state of, in our neighboring state to the southwest, I think they've reduced the number of regulations by almost a third. They've gone back through and in their streamlining process, if I remember right, and I could be wrong, I know it's at least by half, if not by a third of the amount of regulation that goes through. In an interesting conversation with somebody who has obtained mining permits for the last 20 years or so for an industry here in the state, you know, he's to do the same, to get rid of the same high wall, to mine the same ore, the same mineral, to do the exact same thing he's been doing for 20 years. What used to take a few weeks and $10,000-$15,000 is now taking over $250,000 in paperwork to do the same permits, to do the same thing they've been doing for 20 years. $125,000 investment to reduce that kind of overhead and burden on the taxpayer of the state, I think, is a worthwhile expenditure.
Okay, and I'd ask, Senator, and that's, I think, the issue with this footnote. How do you know we've done anything? There's really no report required, no accountability. How many rules are we going to reduce? I mean, it's a nice thing to just say out there, streamlining government, and there's no accountability with this, so I'm sure we could amend it. Representative Wallace?
Mr. Chairman, and that's pretty much what I was going to say. I did have a bill that failed in committee that dealt with rule rescission and this exact thing. The reason the committee was not comfortable with it is because the bill that I was proposing included quite a lot of detail in regards to a cost-benefit analysis and some other things that the agencies would need to provide when they were promulgating new rules, and when we and the bill would give them a way to review existing rules as well. And I would strongly urge that we keep this amount of money in here, because the governor's office is working towards that, and I think that it is perfectly appropriate for us to amend this language with that bill now not being on the table anymore, to require them to come back with a full plan of how we would review rules going forward, to be able to make sure that they're necessary. You know, one of the issues that was brought up by the chief of staff in that testimony is a lot of times we have statutes that are quite detailed that say exactly how things should be handled and exactly how things should be administered, and then it says rules shall be promulgated, and then when the agency promulgates the rules just basically say what the statute says, and that we should just cut that out, and if the statute says what needs to be done, you don't need to promulgate extra rules to do it.
Yeah.
So I'd support that effort.
Okay, so the motion is to reduce this to zero. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That motion fails. Are there further motions, Senator Meyer?
Yeah, you know what? This amount of money isn't going to be enough to do all of government, and I think that maybe what we need to do is look at one agency that really has a lot of regulations that deals with the minerals. And so I would say that if we limited the DEQ to have them just look at DEQ, then we can find out what they're trying to do and how it's working, and then expand it to the rest of government. And if you want to add other agencies on there, but for this amount of money, you're not going to be able to go over every agency in government, do a thorough analysis that's really going to work.
Okay, is there a motion in that?
I would say that we would leave the amount of money in there, do it for DEQ, require a report back to the Joint Appropriations Committee, and suggest that one of the bases that they do it is on a cost-benefit analysis.
Okay. Is there a second? And seconded by Senator Dockstetter. Any further discussion? Representative Wallace?
Mr. Chairman, I would speak against this, and here's the reason why. I know that what the governor's office intends to do with these funds is to bring in some consultants who are expert in looking at the entire picture of state government and to develop the plan that looks at the broad sweep and the whole problem of rule review, broadly speaking, as opposed to focusing on one agency. This wouldn't be enough money to even do DEQ, in my opinion. And so what we need is the plan of how we're going to move forward in a responsible way, not focus on one agency.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dockstetter.
Mr. Chairman, I get very nervous when we start talking about more consultants. So Senator Meyer's trying to dial in his scope. I think we should proceed with it.
Okay, any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion fails. Any further motions on this? Representative Nicholas.
I would just ask or insert after on the third line after rules and regulations and add the language that they improve state rules and regulations and provide a report regarding the same on or before November 1st, 2013, so we can see what the result is of the monies he's expended.
It's been moved and seconded, requiring a report. Any further discussion?
Hold on, Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Report to who? Well, Mr.
Coach, or to this committee.
Well, which one do you want?
Well, I think if it comes to the committee, it goes to the legislature. The committee would be
so
fine.
A report to the Joint Appropriations Committee.
Correct.
Okay. You got that, Don?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Okay, and that's been moved and seconded. I think it's been seconded. Yeah. Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Okay. Everybody's got that. Don, you got it?
Move to close.
Move to close. Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's closed. I guess we probably need to look at Section 2 before we...
Mr. Chairman, the next item is the, at the request of the State Auditor's Office, it further defines that the general fund appropriation you made last year shall be deposited in the FNRPA, or Federal Natural Resource Policy account. They have been operating this way for years. They're requesting some additional direction, so this addresses their concern.
Okay, and we've adopted that. We've adopted all these. It's just making sure that we have them like we want them. Okay. Next.
Mr. Chairman, the next one is Section 005, the Department of Education. This footnote restricts or puts additional restrictions on the GEMS activity, that's the General Expenditure Modification, and requires approval of the Personnel Services GEMS by the Department of Administration Information Budget Division and the Governor. Speaking with the State Auditor's Office or communicating with them, for a 12-month period, or a 24-month period, I believe, 12-month period previously, we're looking at about 600 to 700 transactions they would review.
In the 100 series. Okay, everybody's clear on that. Okay, next.
Mr. Chairman, this is, I believe, Senator Meyer's motion to review the reduction in central mail delivery services in the Department of Administration Information, which was a component of their budget reduction plan.
Okay, next.
Mr. Chairman, this was initially discussed in December, Section 007, Wyoming Military Department, and provides, to the extent possible, to recoup the fire suppression costs, including Senator Meyer's motion of in-kind purposes, if not prohibited by federal law.
Next.
Mr. Chairman, on the top of page 3, Section 007, Wyoming Military Department, this directs, to the extent not prohibited by federal law, that the additional five federally funded firefighters at Camp Guernsey could assist with firefighting outside the boundaries of that camp and within the state of Wyoming.
Yeah. Next.
Mr. Chairman, page 3, Section 13, Wyoming Euthanasia Certification. This is the payback, which that particular board overspent approximately $40,000, $47,000 over the past decade.
Senator Perkins.
I'm sorry to do this, but is it possible to go back to Section 207, the one about the firefighters, the Wyoming Military Department, just for a second?
Absolutely. And Agency
7, Section 2.
And
with respect to that footnote, do we need to open that to have this discussion?
So moved, Mr. Co-Chair.
Seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, it's open. Go ahead, Senator.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I was just wondering, when we get to that footnote, I like to fight the fact about firefighting outside the boundaries of Camp Guernsey, but as we went through that, it just occurred to me from my memory as a county commissioner that that when you get into these mutual aid situations, if we extend that to allow them to fight outside the state of Wyoming, my recollection is when you do mutual aid, you get reimbursement for the fighting that happened. When you do that, when you rend that, I think that you get paid back for the work that you do. And the point is, if we remove the restriction about outside but within the state of Wyoming, if we move that, there's a chance that if these individuals went out there, you might actually get a reimbursement that would offset some of the costs that they incur with respect to the department. So, you know, it's kind of like when we lease our jail cells to the federal government, we get a little money back on our jail. So,
nice comparison. Do you have a motion then?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. What I'd do is, in the last line of that note, I'd put a period after Guernsey and just strike the remainder of the line. The remainder of the line.
Good. Second by Senator Dockstetter. I saw lots of affirmative nodding by your brother commissioners. Once a commissioner, always a commissioner. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted.
Move to close.
Seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Agency 7's closed. Okay, we just finished the $40,000 payback on the euthanasia certification. Don, anything else on that?
No, Mr. Chairman. Bottom of page 3, top of page 4. This is the additional $10 million for landfills. They already had $15 million in a footnote, so we added $10 million, bringing the total to $25 million in appropriations from this biennium. There's also additional language which this committee requested that requires upon further appropriation, and in doing so, there's another bill working its way through the process, which I do not believe has a high priority list attached to it. So this language strikes the requirement for a priority list developed by the Department of Environmental Quality. There was not too much discussion as to this exact language in the committee, so I wanted to make sure people read this carefully if that was the intent.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move we open this agency.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Mr. Co-Chair, and I would move that we put $5 million back into this, and then I'd like to explain my reasoning if I can get a second.
Second.
Mr. Co-Chair, you know, we in the legislature, we told the governor that he shall appropriate $15 million for this account. And so he did what we told him, and then we took it away. And so, you know, if we're going to have him continue to do what we tell him, which is what I think we want to do, then we ought to honor what we tell him to do when he does it. If that makes any sense, Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I don't understand the point.
but beyond that, you know, this is money, and we all understand and recognize the huge exposure we have out there in the landfills. And the legislature has been doing some very good things through the Minerals Committee, and maybe Representative Stupson could speak to that, or Representative Moniz. They were on the Minerals Committee and understand that better than I do. But, you know, this is money that we're not spending at this point in time, and we, you know, it's upon further appropriation, so we still control the money. It's there for a problem, and my experience has been as you build as you go a little bit at a time, you can build this fund up. And I understand this comes out of general fund, and I understand all the issues going on with our spending, but I think this is looking forward. This is a smart thing to do for the legislature and for this committee. Let's set this aside. It's captured. It's there. Let's see where this thing goes. So I would hope that the committee would support this amendment.
Is there a second? And Senator Perkins, I got. So, Senator, just restate what you'd like to do with the money.
Well, Mr. Co-Chair, the money would go into the municipal solid waste landfill account
and
that we created. Just
the
like
the total
we,
amount?
It'd be the total amount. We have $10 million now, Mr. Co-Chair, and I was going to have the $5 million back that the governor initially recommended.
Okay. Representative Stubbs.
Mr. Chairman, I was just saying, so the total amounts that we're looking at is 30 in this particular language.
Well, Mr. Co-Chair, that's correct. We already put 15 in, and we put 15 in a while ago. So there's 30 in there now, and this will take it to $45 million. It's at 50 now, as I understand it, and this will take it to – I'm sorry, it's at 40 now, and this will take it to 45.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
So it's adding 5 to this, what we did.
Right. Mr. Chairman, and I think this is a good amendment, and, you know, ultimately I think in the real world they call this budgeting and save for the future. You know, it's an expense we all know is going to be there, and we know the expense is going to be upwards of $250 million. We just need to keep plugging away at this thing if we can.
You know, just a comment. We had both those bills in front of our committee, and it's $228 million, and 75% of that is our liability, which I think was $168 million-ish. And so with this 40 that we have in there now, took it down. Anyway, the calculation we thought over 20 years is about $6 million a year. We're going to need to keep adding to this to kind of, you know, look at this long horizon, which is about half of that Lust landfill penny. And so we... You know, that was kind of our thoughts in the House as we're moving forward on this. But,
Mr. Co-Chair, and I think that Lust penny is a very good thing for us to be working on, and I share, you know, your support of that, and I think that's ultimately. But in the meantime, this is just something that we continue to build as we grow. Anyway, okay. I'd call for the question.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Moniz.
Just a little more discussion. I don't disagree with you, Mr. Co-Chair, but the question we asked was, what was the potential of them using those funds within the next year? When we were looking at the overall budget, and they told us there's no way they could use that within the next year. So that's why we did what we did. Just throwing that out for discussion, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Co-Chair, my response to that would be that's even more of a reason to save for now, because when it comes, we just have a little bit more there to take care of the issue and the problem. And, you know, there's a lot of demands building up, and if we can put a little bit away whenever we can, which I think we can now, then I think it just makes good sense.
Okay. Any other questions, members? Okay, all those in favor of the motion to add $5 million more, so the total in this footnote would be 30, is that correct? Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
All those in favor, raise your hand. 3, 4, 5, 6. That motion has been adopted. There's only 5 of us left. Senator Hastert's missing.
Mr. Co-Chair, on Senator Hastert's.
That's been adopted.
While I'm out talking about this, he had a bill up, and he has a vote that he wants to leave. What procedure are you willing to accept votes on particular items? How do you want to handle that?
You know, I think we'll honor that. I mean, it's a courtesy to each other, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any
move
other discussion? Move to close. Seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been closed.
Mr. Chairman, in the middle of page 4, the next item is the LUST review by the Joint Minerals Business and Economic Development Interim Committee, as well as DEQ, to identify options for revenue supporting the LUST program and commensurate options to address the statewide landfill remediation. On the bottom of page 4, top of page 5, Agency 24, State Parks and Cultural Resources. This addresses a $20,000 appropriation to implement the National Leadership Conference, which was found in Governor's Letter Number 1.
Okay. Next.
Mr. Chairman, middle of page 5, continuing on with Agency 24, State Parks and Cultural Resources. This is a $250,000 appropriation for the corpus of the Cultural Trust Fund.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the bottom of page 5, top of page 6, is Agency 39, the Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust. This is no money. This is identical amendment to the governor's office, which was requested by the state auditor's office for a direction as to when to deposit general funds into an income account.
Okay. Next.
Mr. Chairman, middle of page 6, Agency 44, Insurance Department. This is $100,000 to be extended for activities to analyze a health insurance exchange. And, Mr. Chairman, this is slightly different language than on your blue sheet.
Any questions? Representative Burkhardt.
Move to reopen section 44.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Go ahead, Representative Burkhardt.
Time out on this.
Okay.
How does this relate to the appropriation from yesterday that we were asked to approve?
We, members, we had a bill, I think it was a committee bill that failed, came back to us, softened a little bit, and it's more about keeping our joint kind of study committee on health exchanges, 3 senators, 3 House members. I'm sure one of you senators will want to jump on that. Senator Dockstader's on it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So maybe you want to speak. This to me talks about the personnel impact.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, the bill essentially puts the exchange committee, the subcommittee, in kind of a holding pattern pending what we decide over the next year or two. Just allows us to have a placeholder, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. But it's my understanding that this is for the analysis of the exchange. It's my understanding they need to get to work on some grant writing. Is this going to be used for that, or can it be used for that? my question. Anybody have the answer to that?
It's my understanding that it just holds it in place, the committee in place.
The legislative committee?
Yes.
Well, I guess, okay, so here's my timeout and my confusion on this. We appropriated $37,000 for the next 18 months for that yesterday. We trimmed it down from $50,000 for the legislative committee to operate. I see this as going to the insurance department to be expended for activities to the analysis of health insurance exchanges. I see this as a deal in the insurance department. Does anybody... Don, do you have any clarity on that, or Dave?
Mr. Chairman, that's my understanding. This $100,000, I don't believe, relates to any of the actual expenses of the committee. Rather, this was a request to infuse funds for the Department of Insurance to analyze the health insurance exchanges.
Mr. Chairman?
And Don, were these general funds? They weren't coming out of the insurance...
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. They were general funds.
Yeah. Okay. President
Burkhart. I guess I'm still unclear. Are these funds that would go towards the fiscal note from the insurance department on the number of people they need?
That's what I'm looking at, I guess. That was my point. Representative Stepson, that's a good point.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, there's definitely a disconnect because, remember, we saw three FTEs cited in that fiscal impact,
right,
and there was no FTEs attached to this $100,000. So, I mean, in my mind, unless somebody is in here making a strong case to do something else, I don't know why we don't stick with what the governor requested and move forward.
Any other comments?
Just to clarify what is going on, we received an agency estimate
of
administrative impact yesterday during the House Appropriation Committee saying it's going to cost $239,000 for three positions in order for the department to monitor, to implement, obtain grants, and monitor the exchange provisions when and if they're enacted. And so... But there's no bill has been presented or anything else. They just kind of threw it in front of us, and we said, well, tell us more about it. And that's about all we know right now.
Mr. Co-Chair?
Yes, Co-Chair.
While we're talking about that, too, do we not have another footnote later where we tell the insurance department that we're going to analyze all the rules coming out on the exchanges? So how does that fit into the bill you're talking about and all of that?
I don't think it does fit. I think this is more a legislative initiative to keep three senators and three House members engaged in all these discussions, attending all the meetings, and so we have knowledge in our body about in the legislative branch on these.
That's right, Mr. Chairman. They're entirely separate.
Well, members of this. I've sensed some uneasiness over $100,000.
Mr. Chair, if... It appears that we're not really sure where this is going.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, that's my concern. We have $100,000 here. We have a potential request for $200,000 plus, and no clarification on how this will be used or what it's for.
Mr. Co-Chair, question. You said $37,000 for the Legislative Select Committee, and the $200,000 that Representative Nicholas talks about, is that another bill, another request, or is that saying that's what they're going to need if we tell them with our select committee? Now I'm confused.
Yeah, it was, Ms. Co-Chair, it was kind of an odd deal. We were, too, and we worked it for quite some time last night. And then it seemed like that was a fiscal impact that came from the insurance department, in my mind, really unrelated to that bill, but related to the same topic of insurance exchanges. And it was basically his plea to that health labor committee, that we need this going forward to write federal grants, stay on top and be ready for rulemaking, all those things. Senator Meyer.
Well, Mr. Chairman, now, is this the assumption that Wyoming's going to administer the health exchanges, insurance exchanges?
Or is it? It was not represented. In fact, the bill said would not, but it doesn't say that in this footnote.
So the department's saying even if the federal government does it, we need three more people?
And actually, it was more that they needed a bridge loan to hopefully get a federal grant. And I'm just relaying what, because the next grant is, deadline is actually February 14th. There's no time to meet that deadline, and then the next grant application is in July. Committee, I'm looking, or June. And that they would like to get somebody on board, a contract grant writer, and get this moving in April. Now, so my question is, when this comes up, our question, because this was fresh in our minds from last night, Senator Dockstader was here.
Mr. Chairman,
is this the $100,000 going towards
that? This is separate for the insurance department. What we're, Mr. Chairman, what we're doing last night was just specific for that legislative committee. Mr. Chairman?
Representative Wallace.
It seems to me like we need both. We have the select committee. This provides some funds for the department who has some expenses coming because they do need to apply for these grants. The bill that we dealt with last night requires that they apply for those grants but provides them no resources to do it with, which was what was troubling me last night. And I think this provides them those resources to do that work.
I think Senator Perkins is next. And
thank you,
Senator
thank
Meyer.
You, Mr. Chairman. And just to follow up on Representative Wallace, I think that's regardless, what it's looking like. Of course, no decision has been made by the legislature yet. But what it's looking like is that we're not going to have a state health exchange, and the federal government will have to come in and establish their exchange. When you do that, there's going to be insurance companies that come into the state. There's still going to be oversight by the insurance department over the policies and the efforts and the companies that come into the state. This isn't going to fund that because it's a one-time appropriation. It's not going to fund the positions you're talking about because it's a one-time appropriation. But I think it's to start to get the department squared away so that activity is undertaken, whether it's by a state, which probably isn't going to happen, but more likely by the federal exchange. There's going to have to be some oversight and involvement by the state insurance department over the insurance companies that come in and participate in the exchange. And even though we're streamlining rules, there's going to be additional rules and regulations. So I think Representative Wallace is exactly right. This is the seed money that will get that process started, and we'll know more when we're back here in 10 months.
Okay. Senator Meyer, appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I think if you wanted to do that, I think you have to add analysis and implementation, because analysis is separate than implementation, and you're talking about implementation in these by writing a grant to help implement those. But really, the funds for the bill should be attached in the bill and be specific to it, so you know everything that bill is supposed to do. That's why you have appropriations in a bill and not in general appropriations in the budget. So, you know, I mean, the bill stands by itself, the funds to do whatever you need to do in the bill and implement that bill, that stands by itself. This is just to do the analysis my thoughts was it's just an analysis is, do we want to go with the Wyoming pool? Do we want to go with the federal pool? If we go with the federal pool, what's the cost of that? What's the benefits of one? What's the benefits of the other? It was more of a cost-benefit analysis rather than any type of implementation.
So you have a motion, I sense.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Let's move to open.
Move to open, Mr. Chairman.
Second, everybody.
Okay.
All those in favor say aye.
And
opposed, 44 is open.
Yeah, I would say the bill notwithstanding, I think we've got what we want, but if you want to add some flexibility to it, you have to deal with the word analysis. And maybe you just say related to health insurance exchanges and leave it broadly. Then you don't have it tied down to just analysis, and the department can use it in the best manner and way that they seem fit.
Okay, so your motion is to remove analysis of and a.
Right, if it's just related to health insurance exchanges.
Is there a second? Second by Representative Wallace. All those in favor say aye.
Mr. Chairman?
I'm sorry. Senator Perkins?
If I may, with the movement's permission, can I scope that just a little bit?
Absolutely.
Or try to?
Yeah.
What if we did it like this? We have the after health insurance exchanges, we have this. So what health insurance exchanges and the related administrative and regulatory burden on the department or on the state, one or the other. But I mean, ultimately, I think that's what it is there's going to be some kind of burden, and I think that's where it's looking. So the analysis of the health insurance changes, but there's, and I think the department's concern is, and conferring with Senator Dockstader, I mean, what this, we're talking about is, again, trying to figure out what's going to be the burden on the state with the exchange, and I think if that's amenable to the...
So, Mr. Chairman, Senator Perkins, it would read, for activities of health insurance exchanges, and your language would be then related to administrative...
And regular, yeah.
Regulatory burdens.
And the related administrative and regulatory burden on the department, or the state of Wyoming, whatever you would like.
Yeah, that's fine with me. I'm not sure how the House feels about it, so...
Susan Wallace.
I think that would... I was really nervous when you first started talking, and you were talking about inserting the word implementing, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
But exactly. I think that this language really does clarify it. You know, the testimony we heard last night was that, you know, once business is actually happening, either through the federal exchange or through something that we might possibly decide to do, and those companies are coming in, then those administrative burdens are covered under their self-funded fees that they charge themselves in the industry. And this would kind of alleviate that gap until we get there, and also give them what they need to be able to apply for these grants, which we also heard are not requiring us to do one thing or another, are just grants to help us figure out if we have any participation, when we would do that, and under what circumstances.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Senator.
I'm fine with it. I guess motion. I'd call for the question on that, but I with the caveat that the department will probably get back to us and find out whether this allows them the flexibility of what they intend,
sure.
What they think they need to do. We may modify it later.
Thank you. Chairman.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This comes out of Governor's Letter Number 1. And what was stated in there was the $100,000 for the developments related to health insurance exchanges, which I take to mean what the state might have to do even if we go with the federal exchange.
Well, the language is what we have here, and because we amended that. But I think, is everybody, Don, do you have the proposed amendment? Anybody? Appreciate you.
Mr. Chairman, I'm...
I'd love it when senators start rewriting another senator's amendment.
It would read as follows. Of this general fund appropriation, $100,000 shall only be expended for activities related to health insurance exchanges and related administrative and regulatory burden on the Department of Insurance.
Yeah. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. It's been adopted.
Sir, I mean, he has the latitude to wordsmith it, so we don't sound like the idiots that we are sometimes.
I'm sure he'll put a comma in the right place. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair.
One other thing, too, and I looked at the, brought up by Representative Nicholas, House Bill 203 and the $239,000 in three positions, and I think that clearly this is a little different than what we're doing here. And so, but we need, committee, we need to keep this in the back of our minds because this is on, did you pass that out, Mr. Co-Chair? Or
not that amount, no. Okay. No. We actually kind of, that was like a warning shot to us of what might be, and which I see is in what this language we just adopted. And I think this is a more appropriate amount because it was represented to us as a bridge loan until they get federal grants.
Yeah, and Mr. Co-Chair, where I'm losing it is, why do we have to have all these people when we don't want to do a state exchange and the feds are going to do a Fed exchange and they're going to pay for it? So I guess this is to, we'll see where this bill goes.
Yeah.
But I like the $100,000 where it is.
I agree, and that money, to be clear, Senators and Senator Dockstader, is not in that bill. We trimmed that bill. It requested $50,000 out into 2015, and we cut all that back to the end of this biennium. It's down to like $37,000 for Senator Dockstader. I think one of you guys will be on that committee, I'm sure.
I don't want to.
There's opening for one more senator and one more representative. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, move to close.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 44 is closed. Don, go ahead. We're on the bottom of page 6.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is section 048A. It's the FY13 portion of the Department of Health and would allow for carryover of unexpended funds in FY13 to be used in FY14. We also, the department would also be required to report that amount to JAC. On the top of page 7, section 048A, this is the removal of the $1.5 million DD waiver funding, which was inserted by the legislature last year, but only for 1 year, FY13.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, section 2048B, this is the appropriation related to the governor's recommendation for $200,000 for senior care. As I understand this, or according to their narrative, this allows individuals to evaluate nursing options and long-term care, and the amount could be used for up to 41 clients, and according to the department, save $2.3 million general funds.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the bottom of page 7, top of page 8, is the amendment that was just passed today, actually, to strike the partnership to resolve mental health issues and replace it with issues identified in the Chris S. stipulated settlement, which the committee just voted on earlier this morning.
Okay.
The bottom of page 8 is Senator Schipper's amendment that he came forward and visited with you about. We reworded this fairly substantially to identify the appropriate fund and clarify the amounts per treatment center that could be used towards the reimbursement for accreditation. I also took the opportunity to run this by Senator Schiffer as well. He's aware of the changes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, middle of page 9 is a specification of the appropriation for the Woodwork effect in Medicaid. General funds and federal funds, and most importantly, the footnote is there to note that this is one-time funding, and the agency will need to come back with an exception request to continue this Medicaid Woodwork effect.
Okay. Senator Meyer?
Yeah, folks, a little history lesson on the Department of Health here. At one time, back in the 90s, we had that same thing that they could use unexpended funds. And what they did is they took their Section 100 dollars and they gave raises to the directors and everybody. So I just want you to know that we don't have any restriction on those unexpended funds that they can spend. And so if you want to do that, you know, it's up to you. But I can just tell you the history in the past that has happened when we give agencies, you know, total reversion authority to spend them any way they want to. Sometimes they spend them the way we don't want them to have, to be spent. So just keep that in mind if you think that we need a restriction at some time.
I don't know.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I make that motion to open 48, and we'll see where it goes.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's open. Senator Meyer?
Back on page 6, I think it would be line 3 after 2014, just say provided that any expended funds shall not be the purposes shall be used for the purposes to increase wages in Section 100 without legislative approval.
Question, Mr. Co-Chair. And I agree with that. Isn't that something that we already kind of control? And are we talking about stepping? Where you don't have step increases? Are you talking about classifications and different classifications, or what are you trying to get to?
Well, yeah. The last time they went in, they went in front of the Compensation Commission. They said we've got this money here. What we want to do with it is, because folks aren't getting enough money, we think in different areas. Let's go ahead and change the classification on some employees. Let's raise this director's salary in some places. There's any number of things that can happen if you don't restrict it. So,
Okay, Representative Wallace.
Mr. Chairman, is there something lurking in the back of my mind? Did we not already do something with the 100 series in the Department of Health as part of the big, you know, what we did last year in splitting the years of the biennium? I can't recall exactly what it was, but there's something. It seems to me like we did do something about 100 series in the Department of Health.
Ron, can you comment on it?
Mr. Chairman, and you'll see this later on, ETS is asking for the same treatment. What you allowed the department to do is use 100 series funding for series 200 through 900, which other agencies cannot do. So if they have excess from a vacancy, they can buy equipment with the funding, they can contract out, and other agencies don't have that flexibility.
Yeah. So, Don, and Representative Wallace brings up a point then. So have we already taken care of this issue, saying that it can only be used for 200 through 900?
Mr. Chairman, I think they're different. That actually gives them additional flexibility in current law. I think Senator Myers' intent is to restrict funds. Technically, the department could increase salaries from agency-identified funds. However, that will hit a wall, if you will, with the Chapter 17 report and the development of the 15-16 biennial budget, because they won't have that ongoing funding to sustain it unless they find it from other sources.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion's been adopted.
Move closed.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? 48 is closed. Okay, Don, we're back on page bottom of 9. We're moving over to 10 now. Are you finished with 9?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, bottom of 9, moving over to 10. This is the additional $50,000 for medical homes. This was just added to an existing footnote. Footnote 12 from last year had $250,000 for medical homes. The governor's letter requested an additional $250,000. The committee approved $50,000 of that, bringing the total to $300,000. And it's to be used for the purpose of developing a primary care medical home network in Wyoming.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the next item on page 10, section 49, Department of Family Services, is the additional $30,000 and associated footnote for the Father Factor Program. I believe that was Representative Escobel's motion.
Okay.
Middle of page 10, Agency 60, State Lands and Investments. This is the first component of the forestry fire suppression. This pays back essentially the bills that we owe from the prior fire year and also restores the Division of Forestry's budget to the full 13-14 amount.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, bottom
Just
of...
Mr. Co-Chair, so the total amount... In this is the 31-2. Is that correct,
Mr. Chairman? That is correct. It's actually the additional $20 million in addition to the 11.2 is in the next section for county emergency suppression. So there is an additional. You don't see it here because the full budget isn't here, but there's an additional $20 million for future fire suppression efforts in that county emergency suppression account. And then the footnote associated with that additional $20 million that's going forward is the pine beetle carve-out. Should those funds not be expended for fire suppression during the 2013 fire season, they may be available, according to the governor's discretion, for $2.5 million in pine bark beetle mitigation.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Okay, Mr. Co-Chair.
We talked about some additional way to do some things within the SPA account. Is that another footnote that we're going to talk about later, Don?
Mr. Chairman, yes, a little bit later.
Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Co-Chair, yeah. Just about the wording of this. As I understand this, it's in funds not expended for fire suppression, so I think that gives the governor the latitude. If he decides the park beetle thing needs to move forward, he hasn't spent the money, he can do it, not knowing what might be coming. So I'm okay with that language, I guess.
Okay. So, Don, just real quick, the total then, and Mr. Co-Chair talked, is 31.2 that we, so we, just so everybody's clear, we made whole the entire biennium budget for the just this next 18 months. So we made that completely whole and refilled the $20 million suppression account. Okay. And that totals 31.2.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. It's a little bit confusing without
right.
seeing the $20 million above, but there is a line item with an additional
and
$20 million.
I think
million.
It's important. We've already gone through much of 1 year of the biennium, and we've restored it fully to the full biennium amount. Okay. Okay. And Representative Esquivel.
Mr. Chairman or Don, do you recall how much we had expended in that account last year, though?
Mr. Chairman, I believe you, I'll have to look up the exact numbers, but you exhausted the county fire suppression account, which had, I believe, and I'll stand for correction, $12.5 million. Then the executive branch grabbed money from a variety of different agencies, including the Department of Corrections and I believe the Department of Health, possibly others, spent that money. That would have reverted, and I think that was on the order of $8 or $10 million. And then they developed a unfunded liability, and that's what we're paying back in that $8.3 million in the first footnote.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
yeah, sure.
Then if we have a similar situation in this next fire season, then the governor would probably go through those same options.
Mr. Chairman, I assume he would spend down the $20 million that you're setting aside in that county fire suppression account, and then he would be forced, if it was worse than last year, essentially, or as bad, he would be forced to use his flex authority with other available budgets, and that could be other departments. And subsequently, he could come back and ask to restore those funds. Let's say he takes an additional $10 million out of Medicaid or something like that. You can expect an emergency request in the 15-16 biennium to be effective immediate for those funds.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
And we go ahead, Representative Esquivel.
Well, Mr. Chairman, okay. What about the money that was in the auditor's account? That as well? Was expended. Was that for fires as well?
Don, do we have? I don't think we have any money in there, do we?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not familiar with any money related to fires in the auditor's account now or last year.
Let's see. Hey, join the club. Okay. So as I see this, we started last year with 12.5 in the county suppression account. And we're going to start this year with 20. And the agency's fully funded and backfilled. And all our bills are paid off. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, next, Don.
Mr. Chairman, middle of page 11, this provides one-time funding of $450,000 for the substance abuse treatment and transfer of patients from the Medium Corrections Facility in Torrington to the Honor Farm.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, top of page 12, this requires the Wyoming Business Council Agency 085 to review and report back to JAC and the Joint Minerals Committee as to the justification for the continuation of the Community Facilities Program.
Okay.
Section 101, middle of page 12, is the budget reduction of one FTE in the Supreme Court. Actually, it's a circuit court. Rather than closure of the three satellite courts in Lovell, Powell, and Du Bois.
And Don, just to clarify, this in no way affects the reallocation study. If I can verbalize this, this is not going to impact any other district. And it's, let me just say it plainly. We reallocate, and let's say Cheyenne was going to get one more because of caseloads. And now because of this footnote, we're not going to go in and grab that one more that Cheyenne potentially would have got.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. The statewide workload reorganization did involve a number of communities that lost staff, including the one that we're grabbing here from Lincoln County. Other communities as well lost staff.
Absolutely.
Other counties gain staff, either part-time or full-time staff in their court system. After all that reorg is done, they ended up having two additional personnel not assigned to any court. Now, it would be their preference to keep those positions
sure.
and keep them vacant, but retain the funds. And this footnote takes one of those two extra positions.
Yeah, I just wanted to be clear that we're not monkeying with the workload study. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Perkins.
We're not monkeying with the workload study, but I can tell you that that these things have tremendous ripple effects. I can tell you that the workload study already shows that there's a number of counties that are two and three clerks down, and so ultimately, I mean, we're holding the cap on this, and I understand what we're doing here, but we're also creating pent up demand and in a number of areas that are seeing growth in their population and the consequent growth in the circuit court.
Okay, thank you, Senator. Okay, next, Don.
Mr. Chairman, on page 13, we're moving into capital construction section 3 of the budget, agency 006, administration information, and this is a $4 million appropriation from the school capital construction account for the Snowy Range Academy purchase. And the additional language here adds a review and approval of the purchase by the State Building Commission for acquisition, and that was at the request of the committee.
Okay.
Time out.
Mr. Chairman, this is a general fund appropriation. Remind me why we're doing this out of the general fund and not the school capital construction account.
Don.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wallace, this is a appropriation out of the school capital construction account. You can see at the behind $4 million, it says S6 rather than GF. So this is coming out of the school capital construction account.
Then, Mr. Chairman, we have a correction to make, and I would move to open it because on the second line it says this general fund appropriation.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's open. Go ahead, Representative.
Mr. Chairman, unless we hear something different from staff, I think we need to change general fund on the second line to the school capital construction account.
Second. By Representative Burkhart. Don, you got her? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Move to close.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Don, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Section 300 is our first section. We create an account titled the Strategic Investments and Projects Account. I have a couple of items. I believe you have a flow chart that was passed out yesterday. There are two flow charts. Should
okay,
be on the top
handout
of your
number 219. Two pages, paper clipped together. One shows the school foundation
right.
program. You want us to probably move to the second page.
That's correct. The second page
is 220. I think that's numbered, and it has this silo. Is that what you're? Okay.
This language here takes money that is in excess of the Craig estimate, which is about $134 million. That's the first portion of that silo that you're looking at. And under the SPA amount, that's the spending policy amount, and between the spending policy amount and the Craig projection, there's about $100 million. It works out to be $99 million in change. And what the committee voted to do is set aside $80.8 million in that unprofiled, unprojected funds, but under the SPA amount, and set that aside for future requests of the governor. We did not specify the request, but that's in the same amount that he requested to use unprofiled gains with, the $80.8 million. I believe the items that he requested were for local governments, $5 million, landfills, $15 million, Energy Transformational Projects 30, and the final payment of the Gillette Madison project. That sets the money aside and allows him to include any of those requests or others in his 2015-2016 request. There are a high likelihood that we will have substantial capital gains that are not profiled in Craig. You'll recall Craig does not estimate capital gains, but I can report to you that as of December, the state treasurer's office had earned more than $50 million in capital gains. In addition, they are going through a restructuring process on their bond portfolio, and they have reported that they have $90 million of capital gains from that restructuring, and they're only two-thirds of the way through that. So there is a high likelihood that we will have substantial capital gains, and, in fact, our estimate for dividends interest income may also be on the low side.
Senator Meyer.
Thanks, Steve. Could you refresh my memory of that $80.8 million? Did we limit it to non-reoccurring one-time expenditures, or did we just say anything?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Meyer, Don, these are going to be pending further appropriation. I mean, we're not appropriating this money. We're setting aside for the governor's next budget. Is that?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. And Senator Meyer, you can see the language at the top of 14. The governor may include appropriation requests from this fund, the SIPA fund, within his budget request as he deems necessary. So there's money on the table for him next time. There's little restriction as to one-time or recurring or as to the type or nature of his requests.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
I guess, you know, these are one-time funds. You know, it's just they're capital gains that are, we can't count on them from year to year. And we can't count on an increase in the general fund or the Craig report from year to year. And, you know, I just think it would be prudent to give some direction here. I don't know what the committee's thought is on it.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Yes, sir. Co-Chair.
I think that we should say this one time. Now, Mr. Co-Chair, procedurally, do we vote on each one of these now? We haven't officially...
Mr. Chairman, you've already approved it in concept.
So, Mr. Chairman,
if you want
I would
changes,
move to open Section 300.
Section 300. Second? Seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Section 300s are open.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator?
I think the language is on top of 14. It says the governor may include appropriation requests from the Strategic Investments and Projects account. And whereas as he deems necessary, I think we would say for one-time non-reoccurring expenditures as he deems necessary after budget.
There's a second?
Second.
Second by co-chair. Any discussion, members? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted.
Move to close.
Mr. Chairman?
Time out a minute. Don, go ahead.
Just to bring to your attention, I also circulated another prepared amendment. The item of change is in bold at the bottom. Nothing else changes, but it basically says that any amount in excess of the $80.8 million but under the SPA amount could be used for fire suppression purposes. I know some members of the committee had requested additional funds for fire suppression, and this was our approach to do that.
Now, just so we're clear, this is, if you look, members, if you look at your handout 220 with the silos, we just talked about the $80 million for the SIPA account one time set aside for the governor to come back next year. This is that next smaller box. I always round it to $20 million. It's $18.5 million, and it's still under the SPA amount. our spending policy amount. Now, I just want to read this language at you, and I'm going to ask you, is this an appropriation then? And it's not a set-aside like the previous SIPA account.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. So the first $80.8 million, he would have to come back through a request. This is an appropriation for fire suppression that he could spend this summer if, you know, we had a bad fire season.
I guess You know, and it's always hard to predict the future, I guess. You know, we could get hit by a meteorite this afternoon and we'd have bigger problems than any of this. But I guess looking at the worst fire season, one of the worst we've ever had, we have more money going into it. I don't know if we need to appropriate it is where I'm going with this, Mr. Co-Chair. I mean, if we have it set aside, we can certainly come back and pay our bills off, replenish where those sponge effects took place in the budget. Anybody else have comments on that? That's Representative Wallace.
Mr. Chairman, I would concur. We've got the accounts filled up. We've paid off our bills. The governor obviously had plenty of flexibility and the wherewithal to go out and get the funds that he needed to deal with the situation this year. That can happen again.
Now, Mr. Co-Chair, I think that this is an appropriate amount of money that we could be utilizing, but I'm not... You know, we've said a long time ago, and I said that I didn't want to appropriate money until we really receive it, and here we're doing it. So I thought there might be a way we could wordsmith this, but now that I look at it, I don't see how we can. We either have to appropriate it or we don't. And, you know, I think that maybe there's a, you know, I don't think we need to put in there a warm, fuzzy feeling that the money's there if we need to use it that way. I think we all understand that. So I don't have a motion, Mr. Co-Chair.
I don't either. I just bring that to everybody's attention. This will be, it's under the SPA amount, but you're appropriating, you know, Don related, we have 50 as of December in normal capital, what we call normal capital gains. That can change tomorrow. You know, you could lose 100 tomorrow. We've had those, you know, where we lost over $500 million in 2 weeks. I mean, that could happen easily. And to get in where we're appropriating money we don't have yet, we have it on the ledger, but it's not in until it's in on July 1. Senator Meyer?
Yeah. You know, I guess with that being said, we did have some testimony that this next season is probably going to be worse than this season. But... The question that I have is that if it is worse in this season and we have to backfill, I think that funding for the bark beetle mitigation goes away because you spend the federal fund, and once you get to that point where it's been spent, that's of that general fund appropriation. So the way that budget is constructed, that even if he goes in and backfills, the ability to appropriate for the bark beetle mitigation goes away. So I'm wondering, you know, that's really important to me, I guess is what I'd say. And I don't know whether it's important to the rest of the committee to just strip it out and put $2.5 million in the general fund that says or something. You know, I mean, and I guess I'd leave that to the committee's discretion or thought here and for a little open comment just to see how important it is to the committee. Because the worst-case scenario comes to pair, which the forestry people said it's at least a coin flip that it is, then our mitigation for the beetle goes away.
You know, I guess we could probably word this that in the event that capital gains, you know, reach that SPA amount, I'm just working this out as a concept. In the event that those capital gains reach that entire SPA amount or exceed that SPA amount, that this, you know, the amount is, you know, you get $18.6 million can be used for fire suppression. I mean, you could word it that way, in the event. Any other thoughts, Senator Perkins?
And certainly, I mean, you can do that. I mean, you can
always that, I guess.
Silo that stuff off. But, Mr. Chairman, I mean, whether we do a little or whether we do it a lot, you know, I think this is just an area I don't think we want. We forward into this last year. It was a mistake.
Yeah.
I think we need to recognize that was a mistake. And we just don't profile and appropriate from money that isn't there yet. It's just, you know, and the other thing that will happen, too, is if you appropriate it there, you know, typically what that is, if it's a good year and we have those capital and the unrealized capital gains become realized capital gains,
you know, then it's there to appropriate and deal with next year. And you know, we're, you know, we do that at the, in all reality, you're starting to appropriate from next year's funds, and I think that's just a mistake.
I'm in total agreement, Senator, and I really, my last comments, I mean, what I said we could do, that's what it is saying we would do. So, okay. there's no motions or, I'm sorry. So, this is not, we have not, there's no motion on this that I sense, members. Okay. Okay. Next.
Mr. Chairman, middle of page 4. This one, oh, 14, that, excuse yeah. me. This one relates to your second flow chart that was handed out. This imposes a cap on the permanent land fund holding account at $450 million. And anything in excess of that amount shall be deposited in the permanent land fund. So at the very bottom of that flow chart, everything up in the top two-thirds of the page is current law. The bottom third shows what would happen if this Section 300 subsection F were adopted. Basically puts a cap on that account of $450 million. We anticipate now that it'll be in the neighborhood of $6 million, but all that depends...
Is that 6 or 60? Sorry,
60. Yeah, 60. All of that depends on how much you spend on other school-related items, retirement, school capital construction, those sorts
There's
of things.
There's an SRO bill out there.
Right.
School resource officers.
I also would bring to your attention, which is going to be problematic for the auditor's office in full disclosure, this requires that the transfer occur on a monthly basis. This is different than we've done in the past. We've done it at the end of a fiscal year or at the end of the biennium. I don't believe that the $65 million will be reached until late into the fiscal year 14, maybe the April-May timeframe of 2014. But this language would require the state auditor's office do the calculation at the end of every month. I'm just raise that to your attention. It will be problematic for them.
Okay.
Second.
Moved and second. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's open.
Mr. President
Walz.
Mr. Chairman, for purposes of discussion, I would propose an amendment that would change on a monthly basis to on an annual basis or at the end of the fiscal year.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Don, you got the language. Would that be at the end of the fiscal year? Or is that what you'll put in there? Get that fleshed out.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we'll get the exact language to you, but it would occur on June 30th of 2013 and again on June 30th of 2014, if that's the committee's intent.
So June 30th of this fiscal year, and that estimated tip will be much less than the 60.
Mr. Chairman, it'll probably be zero.
Yeah,
because we have not experienced the COLEAS bonus payments that would put us over the top.
Okay.
So you could just talk about June 30th, 2014.
Why don't we just do that? Be clear about it. Is that okay, Representative Wallace?
Yes,
Mr. Co-Chairs, who seconded it? So at the end of the biennium. Okay. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted.
Okay. Move to close.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Don, next.
Mr. Chairman, Section 301, bottom of page 14, adds an additional $250,000 to the Library Endowment Challenge Trust per the Governor's Letter Number 1.
Okay.
On page 15 and 16, this is a correction to last year's budget, which puts the appropriate premium maximum amounts for the group health insurance for state employees. That's a technical correction.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, at the bottom of page 16 is the next item, And this gets back to Representative Wallace's comment about the Wyoming Department of Health and gives the same flexibility to the Department of Enterprise Technology in that if they have excess 100 series funding, say through an individual who was left open or a position that was left open, they could take that money and spend it on equipment or external vendor services.
I thought, members, I thought we denied this, but maybe I'm mistaken in all of our travels.
Mr. Chairman, I believe you denied the $318,000 that they had
already
in cash in their 100 series.
Okay.
But the transfer, I think, was a separate
okay.
vote.
Thanks for the... Okay, members. Sensing no motion, Senator Perkins?
I understand the reason we did that in the Department of Health. The Department of Health, we're doing something fairly unique there. Additionally, is with all the programs that go through the Department of Health, you know, you wanted to provide them some ability to backfill and to move money around where they needed it. I'm struggling to see why we give this same latitude to the department or to the ETS. Essentially, I don't get it,
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Nicholas,
Senator Perkins, the discussion was we'll give them one more year while they're still doing their gear up and all the switching that's occurring through the budgetary process. But all of us were on the same wavelength as you are. They just said just do this one more year and it'll come back again next year.
Okay, Representative Wallace.
And Mr. Chairman, the only thing I would add to that is that recall that in this particular agency they are also doing zero-based budgeting every go-around, so we really get a good chance to see what they're doing.
Okay, great. Any other discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My disk overload error is now I'm rebooted, so I appreciate that.
Okay. That's the beauty of committee work. We'll get to the bottom of it somehow. Okay. Go ahead, Don. Next.
Mr. Chairman, the next item is on the middle of page 17, related to position freeze. This is the language that requires the governor to determine the position is of a critical necessity prior to filling any vacancy.
Thank you. Okay, Don, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, at the bottom of page 17 is the amendment related to the major maintenance of community colleges. The committee, you'll recall, included all projects approved as of 2005 going forward would receive major maintenance funding in the formula equal to the square footage in proportion to the funding used to construct the facility. I believe the intent was to address three colleges who had general fund appropriation in 2008, 2009, and 2010, but received, per footnote, received no major maintenance funding. I have a couple of documents to direct your attention to. One is a large legal page, and it shows all of the projects, community college projects, since 2004, actually. And it has a column in there for major maintenance or not. I just bring to your attention that the motion adopted by the committee would change not only the three colleges that I think the committee intended to, but it would reduce major maintenance funding for facilities approved in 2004 or 2005, 2006, and 2007, which are currently receiving major maintenance funding. And it would also reduce major maintenance funding for the projects approved in 2012, last year, where that same footnote did not apply. So it's an odd situation where you have a period of 4 years, 2008, 9, 10, and 11, where there was a footnote that said no college receives major maintenance funding for those facilities, no matter where, whether they were educational facilities or not, and no matter whether they were generally funded or not. And then that footnote drops off in 2012. So I've also circulated an amendment which would change the 2005 date to 2008, and you wouldn't address those historic projects, but you would essentially capture everything going forward and say that major maintenance is going to be related to the amount of general funds appropriated for that facility. to bring your attention to a couple more nuances to this. It is not clear as to the committee's direction as to whether this counts for the current amount that was appropriated, whether we're going to redivvy the pie that was appropriated last year, or whether the intent was to say going forward for the 15-16 biennium, the square footage shall be included in proportion to the general funds from 2008 forward. So a little clarity it would benefit staff.
Mr. Co-Chair, I guess a question, and I think the way we've done this, Don, is fair, and I don't want to go back and rehash all that's already been done. I think that's a can of worms, and we don't want to open that. But if we do what we have now, which is, I understand, starting in 2008, all projects with the community colleges have general fund money. To the extent that percentage of general fund money has been spent on those projects, we will allow them for major maintenance. How much is that? Do we have an idea how much that is?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a good figure on that. There's sizable square footage, but so you would be adding essentially a facility in Casper, Sheridan, and Riverton, but you would actually be reducing the amount in the 2012 projects. So a facility at CWC, which received 50% funding, currently receives 100% major maintenance. They would only receive half. A facility up at Powell receives about 70% funding, or receives 100% major maintenance funding. They would only receive 70%. And then another facility in Rock Springs right now receives 100%. They would only receive 50%. So you would probably balance out to about the same total expenditures by the state, but there would certainly be winners and losers among the colleges.
Well, Mr. Co-Chair, rather than trying to pick and choose colleges, that's not where I'm at with this. I'd rather say, as a policy statement, policy statement is that general fund dollars spent on community college buildings from this point forward will pick up that share, and I never intended for it to expand the amount of money we spend until we see that. So I'd rather have it be inclusive in the amount that we have, and it's a redistribution. So, like, if Central gets something taken away, that's the way it is. But we're having a policy decision that this is how we move forward. It's all over the place, and we need to have some consistency.
Dave, did you have anything to add to that?
Mr. Chairman, along those very lines, I just talked to Don. This is really something you need to do in statute and do what you want this year and handle it this way for this year. But what the issue is that every time you do these things, maybe to get something passed, you say, okay, we'll build it, we'll put money here, but we're never going to pay for major maintenance and for that particular project. And so that's why we're where we are. But this is something you really need to look at over the interim and deal with it on an ongoing basis.
Mr. Co-Chair?
Mr. Co-Chair.
I think that'd be something we could have as a, if there's somebody wants to run in the house now, I think that's...
It's a simple little bill, isn't it, Dave?
Mr. Chairman, unlike the other one, that's not one we're going to have ready for you by Monday.
Yeah.
I think Dave said he doesn't like that idea, Mr. Co-Chair. Well, I think, well, Mr. Co-Chair, now, the amendment we have here, does it address what I just stated, Don?
Mr. Chairman, it does. It only captures 2008. Going forward, treats all of those buildings equally. One clarification, that this would redistribute the pie for this year or is included in the calculations for 15-16. And right now, I think the amendment's pretty silent on that.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman, I think it would, Senator Meyer, I think it would be a direction, like you do in several areas, that they request funding based upon that allocation.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Perkins.
I think this is the right direction. I guess the one question I'd have is, if we know, is as we've gone out and some of those major maintenance projects, particularly, they can be fairly substantial. I'm just wondering if we end up with reductions because we're doing redistribution in the second half of the biennium, what have we done to money that's been expended on plans and contracts that have been let or about to be let? Have we stirred that pot and messed it up, or is there a way that we can exempt things that are already done?
My sense is too many of these are new buildings. There's not much major maintenance to them, and I part of the calculation, correct me, I mean, it's based on the age of the building. The first couple of years, there's no major maintenance payments, and then they gradually start kicking in with the age of the building. So I think the amounts are negligible no matter what we do, but I think the policy question is huge. And I think, you know, I think we're all, the sense of the committee here is we want to treat everybody the same moving forward, and it's been all over the place. Representative Wallace.
I've kind of lost track. Where do we have an amendment on the table, or are we just still kind of doing the timeout thing?
Well, we adopted. What we have adopted is...
is what's here.
What's here.
And then we have this second situation. What happens if we just remove this amendment completely from this budget bill and deal with it over the interim and figure out what is the fair way going forward? Are we impacting somebody? Is this really going to wreck something if we just don't address this right now?
Mr. Co-Chair, I don't know totally the answer to that, but I would like to move forward with this and at least have a footnote to kind of move it along, that we make a general policy decision. This is what we like, and I think that's what we do. And I would, this amendment is drafted, I would think it would, since these are new buildings and we're not going to see an impact, I would think it would be effective immediately. We wouldn't look to the next biennium. And then that would be the position we take, and then this committee or whoever management council wants to look at this issue, let's come back with a statutory change and have a consistent policy. So, Mr. Co-Chair, I would move this amendment with a stipulation that it's effective, you know, as you know, when the budget bill is effective.
Okay. Seconded by Representative Wallace. Senator Meyer.
What about the guidance to included in 1516. We want it to move forward, so shouldn't we include that language?
I think by including this, Dave and Don, I mean, we're stating that. I don't think we need to put dates in there, do we? Your thoughts, anyone? Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I think this will require, and with Senator Bebout's provision, will require a redistribution of funds during this biennium. And you could either state this is the way that the 15-16 budget shall be developed,
okay,
or you could work on this, you know, through the interim, and have a policy developed, you know, through the interim, and have that expectation on the colleges.
You know, Mr. Co-Chair, absence a big fight with the colleges that aren't included in here, since the amount of money is not substantial, maybe we should just say that it would not be within the funds that we already have, that if there's going to be a minimum amount of money is what we're thinking for the next year. Let's don't have that fight on this, and let's just go ahead, Mr. Co-Chair, and it won't be the redistribution of funds. It'll be just in the formula. If everybody understands what I'm saying, I don't think we want to, let's don't start pitting colleges against colleges when we're talking about policy.
Okay. We clear?
Mr. Chairman, I believe we are. I think the motion on the table is the replacement, which has 2008, and we will add language that this change in the formula shall be included in their 2015-16 budget development.
Okay. Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Okay, next.
Mr. Chairman, on the bottom of page 18, the changes are on actually the top of page 19. There are two changes to the standard budget reduction process in paragraph A. It provides for a 6% reduction of the Department of Health. In paragraph B, it removes the requirement of the 8% budget reduction on the judiciary branch going forward.
Now, Mr. Co-Chair, yeah. and we're asking everybody to make these substantive cuts, but, you know, I don't think judiciary, we just can't. That's one of those parts of government that there's just nothing left there to do, because all the judges' salaries are set by statute. I don't know how we can do anything but this.
Okay. Any Okay, Don, next.
Mr. Chairman, bottom of page 19 and top of page 20 is the additional $10 million for local government distribution. And what we've done here is they get their normal August distribution of $40 million or something with a base of $5,000 and $10,000, an additional $10 million with a same base of $5 million or $5,000 and $10,000. So the effect of that is a doubling of the base, which was within the committee's motion. The $10 million is an additional payment, and I would bring your attention to, I believe, my last handout, second to last handout, a local government distribution. It's paragraph G. You have approved this language. It was inadvertently left out of the packet. This is the language that was brought forward, I believe, by Representative Berger's interest, which modifies the use of direct distribution funding to local communities and specifies it may not be used for salary adjustments, additional personnel, or increased personnel benefits, but it strikes the provision that it may be used for one-time equipment or purchases of a limited duration. And this, both of these have been approved. It's not an amendment, unlike the other items I handed out. It was left out inadvertently.
Okay. Okay, good. Next.
Whoop, motion to open.
So that's section 323, motion to open. Been seconded by Representative Burkhart.
Well, we all know what we're going to talk about, Mr. Co-Chair. I would move that we reinstate the reduction that was taken out when we did the walkthrough before.
And how much is that amount, Mr. Co-Chair?
$10 million. Mr. Co-Chair.
So you want to add, we currently have 10 in this budget language, and you want to increase that to 20?
That's correct, Mr. Co-Chair.
Okay. So everybody's clear? Any any discussion? I'm sorry? I got you. Okay. Any other discussion? Representative Nicholas?
I would speak against the motion. As we discussed in the prior committee meeting, as currently, you know, I think that the informal vote right now in the Senate is about 18 to 11 on the fuel tax. Based upon the fuel tax, there'll be counties and municipalities will receive about $31.1 million per year in revenues. And this is a supplemental budget, and so essentially we'll be giving them $50 million this year with this increase. And so because we're cutting government, we're reducing employees, we're asking for an 8% cut next year on the next biennium on all the state agencies, it just seems to me wise that we are fiscally prudent. And so I'm speaking against the motion.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair.
And Representative Nicholas, those are all good, valid points. And the only thing I would add that I would just bring up for the committee's consideration is, first of all, we don't know what will happen with the fuel tax for sure, and as we work through the process, we can always come back and do something later, although it is more difficult, and I understand that. The second thing is I think that if in fact this should go forward, and I'm looking at a lot of them out here, that, you know, when we get into the next budget cycle, that these appropriations out of general funds to cities, towns, and counties are going to become few and far between. And I think everybody understands that. And so that's the message I would tell everybody in cities, towns, and counties, that not to expect this in the next biennial session, because we're not sure where we will be. The other thing I would say is that I looked at some of the growth in city government, and particularly in my county, and I looked at and how our state government has grown relative in positions and everything, and I looked at communities other than several larger communities that have different demands on them. Most of the smaller communities in our state have not grown, and they haven't increased in size. And so I think the money best spent closer to the people is a way to spend it. So I think we ought to give them their $10 million back. And now the other $5 million, Mr. Co-Chair, that's down the road. That's something we can talk about later. But for this one, I would hope that we would do that.
Mr. Chairman. Any other discussion?
Mr.
Senator
Chairman,
Dockstader.
Thank you. I think the towns and counties have been way ahead of us in doing the cuts. They've been doing it long before us. If any of you have served at that level, and I know most of you have in some capacity or another on a council or commission,
I suggest to you that they are already down there in the trenches working with them, some cases literally in these smaller towns. They're working side by side with the limited staff they have. It's time to put that $10 million back.
Okay, any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Esquivel.
Mr. Chairman, I'll support that motion as well, because this seems like the issue that we spend the most time on when we go through second and third reading on the budget. And it's very difficult to understand when they start breaking down and getting into the formulas on the floor. And you know, my concern is the amount of time that we do take on this issue. And we've decided it being the right thing to do.
Okay, anyone else? We've discussed this extensively. Okay, sensing the vote. Okay, all those in favor, please. How about we just raise our hand and save the time on this? All those in favor, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All those opposed? 1, 2, 3. That motion's been adopted. I tell you, the Senate is just rolling us house guys. First it's landfills, now it's local governments.
Well, better here than in conferences.
Will there be a conference? Jeez.
Oh, I hope not.
Okay. Okay, very good. Thanks. Next, we have a motion to close. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Okay.
Mr.
Next
Chairman,
issue.
On page 21, section 329. The Jamestown Rio Vista loan, this is the payback of the 1980s loan that was never paid, requires legislation. Requires an amendment to the budget, excuse me. Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I skipped an item on page 20, employer-paid contributions. This is the $16 million sweep from the excess premiums due to the reduction in anticipated health care costs within state agencies.
And these are restricted. They cannot, they sit in the auditors till it must be appropriated.
Yes, on the last line, it indicates no funds deposited with the state auditor's office shall be used for any purpose without further action by the legislature. I did just discuss the Jamestown Rio Vista loan on page 21. So I will jump to page 21, the bottom, which provides, I'll walk through this one at a time. This is employee compensation, $600,000 of general fund for permanent increases to the Supreme Court for market adjustments. And then paragraph B is what we are terming the retention incentive payment. That's a one time. We don't want to use the word bonus. For a variety of reasons, so that we term it the retention incentive payment. There are a number of items here that we took some liberty in developing the first draft. First of all, we define a qualifying employee at the end of this section to include anyone who is employed as of July 1 also has received at least a competent rating or the equivalent if his employer has such an employee evaluation. And then finally, meets any other requirements of that governing board, be it a school district or University of Wyoming Community College's judicial review panel. Moving back to the top of page 22, there's appropriated $284,000 in general funds, and then the majority of the funds that are currently sitting down in the auditor's office from the reversions of the 2011 session law. You'll recall there's about $7.6 million in that account. Our position is that should be reverted, and when it is, the distribution is as follows: $3.3 million for the executive branch, $145,000 for the judicial branch, $900,000 for community colleges, $1.8 million for UW. Paragraph C allows all state employees who are funded by other than state general funds, so DEQ employees who are federally funded or PSC Public Service Commission employees who are funded by other funds would receive a similar payment. Paragraph D provides $8.1 million for the same one-time retention payment for school district employees. And I should also mention that the payments have been subdivided into two equal amounts, one payment in the September paycheck and one payment in the December paycheck. With that, I'll stand for questions. I know it's a significant amendment with a lot of money and a lot of parameters to it.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-Chair.
What is the total amount that will be spent in terms of the state and then in the foundation, and how much general fund money will we really be needing when we offset it with the $7.7 million that's there?
Mr. Chairman, you will need $884,000 of general funds.
$884,000.
That's correct.
Okay.
For this portion.
For the one-time incentive payment.
That's correct. It will be a total of $6.7 million for state employees. That's inclusive of UW, Judiciary, Community Colleges, and Executive Branch. $6.7 million for what I call state employees. And I believe it's $8.1 million for school districts. The school district payment is paid for out of the school foundation program, not general funds. So the bulk of the general funds are coming from the 2011 appropriation for market pay that was not used for that purposes. They found other savings through the premium holiday and the like.
And how about, and that's just for the bonus, but keep in mind the $600,000 will roll to $1.2 million when it's biennialized next budget. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's the only thing that continues or is reoccurring.
So this 6.7, does that include the $600,000 too?
Mr. Chairman, that does.
It does, okay. And so really 6.1 of that is non-reoccurring then?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay. Stated another way,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. And once you decide on a methodology, we can provide some additional background material, you know, a one-pager on this, so it's clear.
Okay, and then on the 8.1, none of that is reoccurring.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct, and you'll see some language on page 23, paragraph D. The appropriation, this is from Dave Nelson, the appropriation is in addition to the amounts provided under Wyoming Statute 2113-309P, that is the school block grant resource allocation model to make sure.
Where are you at? I'm sorry.
It's page 23, right in the middle.
Okay.
Bottom of paragraph D. That last
okay.
sentence ensures that it's one time and that it not participate in the school finance funding model.
Okay, good.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Just to be sure, so there's $6.7 million additional in general funds, but it's offset by the $7.7 we had, so there should be a net saving, but you said it would cost us $800,000 more. I want to be sure I'm clear on that.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The next item we'll talk about is retirement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Looking at subparagraph D, where it says the base salary for school district employees shall be determined as of September 1st, 2013. I'm assuming we're trying to get into that thing that these aren't going to be applied to the base salary for benefits. But I think that this language might be a little bit too broad because you may have a district that's going to increase their base salary after that date that has nothing to do with this 1% bonus. I'm just wondering how that's going to work in with that.
Mr. Chairman, the only reason that date's in there is because you have to have, if you're calculating a 1% bonus, 1% of what? For
okay.
state employees, it's July 1st. We
right.
use September 1st because some school district employees get their money 12 months a year, some only 9 months a year.
Right.
So to avoid that, we just use September 1st. But it's just a date to say, okay, the 1% from calculated from what date and your salary on as of what date.
Okay, how did we handle that issue that Representative Burkhart and I were thinking about as far as that, what paragraph is that, just to refresh my memory here, or point it to me?
Mr. Chairman, that's on page 24, paragraph, subsection F.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm good. I don't think I have any conflict.
Mr. Chairman. It's my understanding that the teachers get, there's an automatic bump in there every year that's built into the system. And that, so I guess a motion on this one would be to cut it in half. They're already getting an automatic every year where the state employees, the regular ones, don't get anything sometimes.
I'm sorry, and I didn't hear your question, Representative, if that was...
Well, the teachers get an automatic bump every year of about 1.5% where the state employees don't. So I guess I'd motion that we cut this in half. I know it's one time, but they're already getting an amount.
Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
You know, every pay plan is different in every district. A lot of it is they don't get it necessarily every year, but they might get it every 5 years, or they get it for every 15 credit hours. There is a schedule, I believe, in every district, but every district is different. And the good chairman of the House Appropriations is probably more familiar with another district in the state. And I understand your concern on that, but if a person isn't in that five-year period, or if they haven't hit their 15 credit hours, then that person would be flat, but the person next to him might be getting a 9% increase, and another person might be getting a 4, another person might be getting a 5. If they've hit the scale all the way to the end, they might be getting nothing. So, you know, there's a mix, and I don't know, Mr. Chairman, is that kind of how your district works there?
Well, I think, Senator, it's all over the map. I think what we've tried to do, I've talked to Don about this issue a little bit, is what's the average state employee salary versus average school district salary? What's the average of, okay, bachelor's degrees versus those folks who hold jobs without bachelor's degrees? Is there any more information? I mean, we figured what's the average state employee salary, the bachelor's degrees, what, $59,000 was that?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. With a bachelor's degree in the state, it's about $59,000 a year. Without a bachelor's degree, I believe it's $50,000 per year. And we have some additional information.
We've tried to compare apples to apples. It's different. And I think, what's the average school teacher salary?
I'll have to get that information.
It's like 49 or something.
Yeah, I don't have it at my fingertips.
And it's, you know, I don't know. We've wrestled with. I think where this came down was there hadn't been an ECA, I think, in 4 years. And so that's where. So, anyway, that's a little bit I had to.
What was the, Mr. Chairman, what's the governor's position with regards to the increase for this, for the education side?
He did not include any increase for K-12 on his budget message. We did that. And his increase for state employees was like a, what was it, 2%?
It's about 1.4%, Mr. Chairman, and then he also included $2.5 million for that
for the
merit program.
And that's where we saved some money on this. And then the other piece of compensation that keeps not being mentioned is what we did in the next piece with the retirement contribution. And I think state employees, I know over half the school teachers who pay the 1.43 now as of a couple of years ago, they understand it's a piece of compensation when your check gets reduced by $50 to $150 a month. So that's another piece, and I think it's important that we as a committee say that. I mean, we are contributing. We are paying another 0.5% of the employee's contribution in this budget bill. That's what we adopted. So that's a piece of this compensation. That's what we did 2 weeks ago. So, and I don't ever hear that piece. It's just the 1% bonus.
I second the motion of Mr. Burkhardt, Representative Burkhardt.
What was the motion? I'm sorry.
To reduce that amount to half.
Okay.
To 400.
Chairman?
4 million.
Okay, so it's reduced to 0.5% bonus roughly then. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, and
I guess I don't. Just a clarification on the motion. Are you doing that for the education side or for everybody? I don't understand.
Just education.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Esquivel.
Could you maybe give me a little bit more information on how that would actually affect those school district employees that are in their first 5 years? I thought I heard something in the discussion that it would affect them at a higher rate. So I don't want to be cutting just to cut.
I believe that was an issue Senator Meyer brought up.
We're all looking at each other.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as a good co-chairman said, that it's all over the map for school districts. Every incentive package or pay package is their steps are completely different. But all I can tell you is in our district is that you have to at least have another 15 credit hours, or I think it's like 5 years before you get a raise. You know, so. You know, a lot of these guys will go out and try to get their credit hours as quick as possible so they get some bump, and then they have to wait. You know, you've got to get through your tenure, and you've got to get to that next level of experience. So after that, you know, it goes up fairly quick. But I think the realization that your first-year people probably don't progress very fast at all in the first 3 to 4 years, you know. So, yeah, you know, it's all over the map. I don't think you can customize something that's going to work for every school district if you try to get in and do this. So, you know, I guess it's a just depends on whether you want to be fair across the board or you don't. You know, I think that's the question on the motion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the motion, but I think I'm going to err on the side of fairness here.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Moniz.
Hi, I'm in the same boat here, Mr. Chairman. I think we ought to treat them equally.
Okay. Is there any other discussion? You ready,
Mr.
for the
Chairman?
Question? President Burke.
Just a question as part of the discussion. The state kicks in approximately half, and the districts kick in approximately half on the national board certified teachers. Does this go against that also? Because they get a bump for being nationally board certified. So is that included in the calculation of their pay?
I think this refers to the base salary in the legislation, and that's now part of the base salary.
It's an adder, yeah.
It's my understanding. Dave, is that when you're okay? Any other questions? Okay, all those in favor of Representative Burkhardt's motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That motion's failed. Being called, raise your hands. All those in favor, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that motion has failed. Okay. Next.
Mr. Chairman.
Let me, Representative Wallace, we're pushing up against time.
Okay.
That's what I was visiting with Representative Burkhardt. I was visiting with the co-chair about it. It was a timing issue. And so,
Mr. Co-chair,
I think we could work through a little bit in the reading reference of bills.
Yeah, Mr. Co-chair, we're good in the Senate, and the Speaker would like to have you probably down there about, he said, 10:15, 10:20.
Okay. So we'll just keep on trucking.
Okay.
Okay. Is that okay? Next issue,
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Representative.
I just have a question. Remind me, what do we do in subsection E on page 23? We talk about who the qualifying employees are in the executive and the judicial branch. What do we do for our legislative branch employees? Do they get included in these kind
of
things?
We have to do that separately.
We have to do it completely separately.
Yep.
And where do we do that at? In the feed bill?
Okay. Do we usually do that in the feed bill?
Mr. Chairman, you usually management council adjust LSO compensation usually in December, and then whatever you do has to get rolled into the feed bill. But salary adjustments for LSO is usually handled in December.
But does it have to? Can it be in the feed bill, or can it be in this bill?
Mr. Chairman,
we'll deal with the feed bill a little later.
You can deal with it in the feed bill. The retirement provision for LSO is in in this bill.
In this bill,
you've done it both ways, but generally speaking, you would do it in the feed bill.
So we can do it either way, but Representative Wallace?
Well, my thought was that if we're providing these retention bonuses, whatever you want to call them, to the other branches, that we should extend that to our branch as well.
So is that a motion? That'd be like a paragraph F? Or you guys will word it, whatever, renumber, so it'll be in there.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we include the legislative branch in the retention.
Okay.
I'd second that motion, on fairness.
Any idea that what that will cost? It's not a tremendous amount, as we don't have no idea. Okay. And we are fair. One thing we are is fair.
Mr. Chairman?
President Burkhart.
For discussion on that, I think the original intent was all state employees, and that would include legislative branch.
Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's been adopted. Now, the retirement piece is taken care of in here for LSO.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, unless you have other motions on the employee compensation.
Mr. Chairman, I got one more motion.
Okay.
In the nature of fairness, I would move that the 1% increase that is going to all employees, both education and state employees, be capped so that anyone receiving over $120,000, that it's capped at $120,000 of their income and not over.
So those folks, let's say a guy's making $200,000, he's not going to get a $2,000 bonus.
He's capped at $120,000.
He'll get. Okay. Dave, any problems with that? Is there a second?
Second.
By Representative Wallace. Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's been adopted. Boy, we are just so fair. Okay.
In the issue of fairness, Mr.
Committee number two, fairness. Okay. We'll remember that, Senators. You be nice to us House guys. It's all fair in love and war, huh? No, and legislation. Okay. Okay, any other items on 23? We're on 24, Don, is that right?
Mr. Chairman, I think now would be the appropriate time. There's one more piece of Section 329 retirement contributions.
Okay.
And I'll begin by hopefully responding to Senator Bebout's initial question about the total cost of this. The total cost of retirement and compensation is about $8.5 million. Of that, $7.7 million general fund is available in the state auditor's office from a previous appropriation. And that's why we needed to appropriate $800,000 in new money. So if that kind of breaks out the expectation. And the numbers are a little complicated because it's split between compensation and retirement. But that's the total amount, $8.5 million for both.
And Mr. Co-Chair, the amount that we'll fast forward and will show up again, which will be the retirement component only, is how much? It's the total of these numbers here that we just handed out, I believe.
Right, about $1.7 million plus $600,000 for the courts. So the recurring total is, I'm rounding here, but on the neighborhood of $2.3 million.
And that retirement is for the state side?
The retirement is paid for by the employer as currently written.
Right. And that's costed as state employees?
Just state employees.
Yeah. And so that total is 2.3 recurring. Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the total for retirement is 1.7. The total for judiciary compensation is 600,000. Combined, it's 2.3 million.
Got it. Yeah.
So in this handout, we didn't include it in the same package, but the committee did approve this. It's a 0.5% increase. Walking you through the language, it provides about $1 million for legislative, executive, and judicial branch employees for the 0.5% increase beginning in September of 2013. $220,000 for community college employees, about $500,000 for UW employees, and $3.75 million out of the school foundation program account for teachers. Paragraph B discusses those personnel who are paid for by other sources, again, the PCS folks or the DEQ, federally funded folks. And then we have some language for reverting any excess funds. This language is, candidly, a bit tricky because it applies only to the two programs that are in your legislation. That is wardens and the big pool or the state plan. In doing so, it does not include judicial court judges' salary or retirement programs because their program is fully funded. It does not include law enforcement because their retirement program is also considered to be fully funded. So some might say that we're not treating everyone equitably. That's the reason why.
So these retirement contributions are solely focused on the big plan, the wardens, and Fire B.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. And in Fire B,
that's not even in there because
correct.
It's a local deal. Okay.
The last thing I think staff would like to say is this is arguably more appropriate to include in the retirement bill. If it is not included in the retirement bill and the retirement bill fails, then there's a question, well, does the 0.5% go against the 1.43% that the individual employee is currently paying out of pocket? You can see there's a number of notwithstanding or language that generically addresses those items in the bill. But, and maybe Dave could speak to this first.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, there are a number of notwithstandings, and the problem you have with doing this is that you're increasing an employee contribution in the budget bill that deals with certain entities, state agencies, other entities, but that also flows over to entities that have nothing to do with the budget bill or aren't dealt directly with in the budget bill.
Fire B,
cities and towns are in the big plan.
Yeah.
And you're increasing the employee contribution, and for state employees, you're saying, okay, the state, the employer will pay for those folks. You really have no way of doing that in the budget bill.
Well, we're not prohibiting the employer like we did a couple years
absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely, and it states in here the employer can pay this increased contribution. But again, you have statute that says the contribution is going to be whatever it is, depending on what plan you're in, 7%. But now you're saying, no, it's really going to be 7.5%. And you're doing that for a budget, in a budget bill for a budget period. My recommendation would be, if you want to keep it here, okay, keep it here. But really, we should put this in the retirement bill, and I really think you should deal with it in the retirement bill because it goes beyond the budget issues. And we can have, if you want it in both places, we can put in the retirement bill that if the retirement bill passes, then this section is ineffective, if that's the kind of way you want to go with it.
Members, are going to meet as a House committee to sponsor that. That's in our House, and that reflects this language.
Mr. Co-Chair,
yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to open up this section. Is it still open?
It's not open. Is it seconded? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's open. Go ahead.
And Mr. Co-Chair, I was going to bring this up, and I agree with Dave. I think that it should be handled in the bill. Then it's very clear. And if the bill fails, then it fails. I would move to take this out.
Let me just question. Okay, so the motion's just to remove the section. Then the next question is, we've appropriated money do this, and then the next, how does that work? As part of a compensation package, it's less expensive for the employer to pay that than actually give a salary kind of bump.
Mr. Chairman, if you're thinking of just doing a compensation package for state employees that are in these two plans, there is a provision right now that the state employee has to pay 1.43% of the employee contribution. The state cannot pay that, But when we wrote that, we also said, unless the legislature specifies otherwise. So if you really want it just as a compensation piece, the thing to do is just to say, instead of that 1.43%, the state will pay, the employee has to pay 0.93% for this fiscal period. Now, that doesn't help the funding overall for the plan, but if you just want to give the state employees a 0.5% raise through a retirement mechanism, there's that option is available in statute, and that statute was written with the idea that in a budget session, if that's if times were good, you wanted to do it that way, that we could do that.
Okay. Very good. So if we here's where we're at. We're going to meet at noon today to discuss really this retirement bill, and we'll send it your way. Because we were too late to jointly sponsor. Right? So we have the budget reduction bill and this retirement issue bill coming. We're going to discuss them in this room at lunch recess. So the question is then is whether to just remove this. And then if this is successful, we'll talk about further questions, I guess. Any further discussion? Question, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And adopted. I guess before we close this, the next question then is, on the monies appropriated, if the bill fails, do we pay 0.5 of that 1.43 of those state employees? And we could put that in here right now.
Mr. Chairman, I think you'd have to put that in if that's the effect. Otherwise, okay. The statute says what percentage you'll pay.
So move.
I would so move.
Representative Walsh. Second by Representative Moniz. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, just so I understand, so what you're saying now is that if the retirement bill would fail, we'd still pay the 5%, but it wouldn't be an additional 5%. It would be part of the
1.43. Part of the idea, I guess, when we put this in here, at least the way I was thinking, was to do some good for the retirement fund as well, those three funds. That's where I was coming at this. And you could say, well, yeah, we'll give employees a 2% raise, but we're going to make you, you know, this was a 2 plus 2 bill at one point, and we've softened that. So that's what I was trying to do, is do a little good for both. Mr. Co-Chair.
But, Mr. Co-Chair, if we do this, we're not putting any more money in the retirement fund.
Right. That's right, but we've got money appropriated.
So the retirement fund, we're just reducing what the employees pay, but no more money goes into the retirement fund, so we have done nothing about the actuarial side. Okay, I think we understand.
The effect of the last motion. Okay.
Just a point of clarification. Is this going to apply to all plans or just the two specified, the wardens and the big plan?
Mr. Chairman?
Thinking on that. Senator
Berger. So, and maybe I misunderstood, but, I mean, I thought the idea that we're trying to do and what we're trying to ensure is, from our long discussion, that this we wanted to start the effort to try and change the trajectory on the degradation of the plans that didn't have the right trajectory. And so we want it only in those plans. We don't want it to be to all plans. There's no reason to do this additional funding to the plans that are already over 100%. We need to do it at the ones that are under 100%. At least that's what I thought.
Well, the idea was a compensation package and to help those three funds, but we removed that with the previous motion. So there's no more money going into retirement, any of these funds, as of right now. That's what?
Isn't that what the motion is to correct that problem? I thought that's what the motion was.
There won't be a net increase. It'll still be at the 1.43. We're talking about the 1.43 and a compensation piece now. That's why I was the only with no vote on the last motion. But anyway, so it kind of changed, backtracked what we did. We were trying to do a little bit of good for both compensation and retirement fund.
I think we're kind of running out of time. Maybe we ought to come back in, just keep the budget and everything open, come back in at noon and discuss all this stuff.
You know, because we're heading right into that retirement bill. And so it'll dovetail right in. We can have our discussions, and then we'll go to a House committee and work these bills, and you guys have your input on them, and then we'll vote them up or down and go from there. Don, how much more work do we have left on this? We've not got it, don't we?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, you could skip this issue and run through the next issues in probably 5 minutes.
Is that okay, members? We got about 5 minutes. We can.
Mr. Chairman, on the bottom of page 24, this requires the positions to be outlined in the D sheets in the 15-16 biennium budget request.
Okay.
This is a technical requirement of the budget office to provide additional information on employees that are being transferred, terminated, or requested to be new employees.
Okay.
On the top of page 25, state capital construction funding, this directs yourselves to review the balances and requirements of major funds such as the capital construction funding account or the omnibus permanent land fund. This is really just a direction to yourself, and we could do it with just your direction.
Mr. Co-Chair, I would ask that we open this.
Okay.
Second.
Section 329, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's open.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move we strike this. We don't need to tell us what we need to do. We already know what we need to do.
Yeah.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
It's been stricken. It's been adopted. Okay. Don?
Mr. Chairman, the next item is requires the district court in their 15-16 biennium request, biennium budget request, to be have uniform expenditure accounting and uniform budget submission.
Beautiful. Okay. Next.
Bottom of page 25 is a requirement of the Department of Health and the Insurance Commissioner to monitor federal rulemaking related to the ACA, or Affordable Care Act, and to report to the Labor Committee and JAC as soon as feasible on any substantial negative or positive impact on the state or the citizens thereof.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the last two we have are page 26. These are budget reduction language that your committee, the House Appropriations Committee, will hear at noon today. This allows a temporary county and prosecuting attorney's distribution to the extent funds appropriated are insufficient to meet the state's obligation, and does the same for the tax refund for the elderly and disabled. Again, both of these have experienced a portion of the 4% budget reductions, and there's a chance that they will have insufficient funding, and the funds would be distributed on a pro rata basis to the extent they are insufficient.
Okay, very good. Now, and that bill be heard, and I have 12:30 as the meeting time. So why don't we move that up to about 12:20? We do that? I think we're all right, because I think we'll continue our budget discussions in at 12:20. Would that be okay, Senator?
Yeah, Mr. Co-Chair, we've got three bills we're going to deal with in the Senate at Help Me Out Committee at 12:30.
Well,
is that not correct? So maybe we can meet at. We have a motion on the floor now. Do you want to dispense with that motion?
Does that represent Wallace's motion? That is correct. Was that seconded?
Yeah, the motion was to take the 0.5% off the 1.47, and that way you'll know that the compensation piece is there, and
okay.
Maybe we could dispense with that. And if that passes, then I think we're done.
We're done with that, and we don't
if it doesn't pass, then I think
there,
we could
you're
come back.
You're absolutely right. So that was a motion, and we never did dispense with it.
Time out.
Go ahead. Representative Moniz.
I'm not really sure I know where we're headed with this. The goal of Senator Nicholas's original motion was, I'm thinking, and correct me if I'm wrong, was to help the corpus with the retirement. Based on, if I'm hearing it right, based on the motion that we've got now, that doesn't do that. Is that correct or not?
Let me backtrack here a minute. Here's how I understand what we did. We took out the additional 0.5% to these three plans. We took that out. I think it was the co-chair's motion. And so we reduced that. The money is still appropriated in previous paragraphs. And this motion then says, well, of that money that's still out there for 0.5%, we will use it as a form of compensation to pay 0.5% of the 1.43 that employees are now paying. So it would, in effect, add 0.5% back to the employees' paychecks, and those.
Yeah, but
that's how I understand it.
Mr. Co-Chair, the only thing is that money, if you don't vote to do this motion, then the money is not still there.
That's right.
And so if you vote, what you do if you vote for the motion, you're going to appropriate the money, and it's going to go against what the employees already pay, and it will not go to the retirement plan. It'll be part of the compensation plan. If you vote no, then what they may get will happen in the bill that you're going to listen to in the House Appropriations Committee. So it's a pretty significant motion. So what it's saying is you're going to contribute more to them for what they're supposed to put in, but it does not go to the retirement plan.
Okay. Any questions on the motion? All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no.
No.
I think I guess the sense of the committee is we want to try to help the retirement fund, those three funds in particular. And we had that in the bill and we took it out, and we're going to try to make it right in the House bill coming up.
Mr. Co-Chair, yeah, we can do it on the floor. I mean, this is long from over.
So now that the county...
Mr. Chairman, yes, final action. I believe we can prepare the bill by Monday, distribute it to you, and if you could meet Monday perhaps upon adjournment for final action on that bill, if that meets the pleasure of the... Tuesday?
Mr. Co-Chair, let's do it Tuesday. Give us a chance to go over it.
Tuesday on adjournment?
Yeah. How does that sound, everybody? Senate, is that all right with everybody in the Senate? What about CAPCON? I think it's all... There's only two items in it, and we already approved them.
Mr. Chairman, you're right. There are actually three items. There's a federal funding, a Camp Guernsey infrastructure for $1.5 million and $60 million for the College of Engineering, which we amended somewhat.
We're done.
Okay, so adjourned until...